Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 170 for Tuesday, November 16th of 2021. And on tonight's podcast, TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil.
What's going on, everybody? Glad to be on, as usual. And, hey, let's just finish up this last home game. Let's see what happens in the offseason.
Yeah, that's yeah. we'll talk about the rest of the season here in a minute. Also joining us on tonight's podcast, it is a TCU Hall of Fame roundtable. We've got WC Nix. How you doing, Dubber?
Doing great. Two games left. Hey, as silly as it sounds, two games left. You win two, you're bowl eligible. They still got something to play for, brother.
It's gonna be a
test. I mean, that's crazy to think that, especially after last week. But you never know what you're going to get. You know, it's kind of like Christmas. You never know.
Yeah.
I'd be happy just if we could just keep our two front teeth over these next couple of games.
That's yeah, exactly. Sure. Exactly. Yeah.
So before we get into what was considered a, quote, football game on Saturday, we have a couple of other scores. Nick's not on tonight, but I wanted to let everybody know that, you know, men's basketball started off with a 77-61 win over McNeese. And as of right now, recording this, they're currently beating Southern Miss 64-42. So the men look to be off to a fast start. Women's look really good against Houston Baptist, winning 78-48 earlier last week. So I think that was a really nice start to the basketball season. And I know we're all looking forward to it. And again, go online. If you haven't been to a basketball game in the new stadium, go check it out. Because it is one of the better venues you're going to find in the state of Texas, if not in the entire Big 12. So go check them out. Yeah, Dubber.
Sucker, I believe, won their first round yesterday.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes.
Big time. I mean, it was like 8-0 or something like that. It was a big score. I mean, so they're advancing on to the second round.
Yeah, it was 8-0 over Prairie View A&M, and that was that was a great start. And yep. they look fired up. That is certainly a team to watch. So that's fantastic. So all around, hey, sorry, Deborah, go
they're ahead. They're battle tested. I mean, I enjoy watching that group of girls. I mean, they're tough. I mean, you know, they've been there. They've been to the tournament. They've been to the tournament several years. It's, you know, they're kind of that team right now. They're used to being there. They like being there. And, you know, last year they made a pretty good run. And I think this year they're thinking, you know, they're not set on just playing good the tournament. They're set on trying to win this thing. That's what I enjoy.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the baseball team, second time they got into Omaha. You know, that first time it was almost like, wow, big lights. Second time up there, it was like, let's take care of business. And they really did. And that was, that's exactly what these women remind me of. And that's going to be a fun tournament to watch. So we'll see how that goes. Yep. Of course, they've got a couple of big games coming up here. So it'll be interesting to see how far they go. But a good start all the way around between basketball and, of course, soccer's postseason chances. Unfortunately, on Saturday, football stumbled quite a bit, losing 63-17 in Stillwater to Oklahoma State in a game that the Frogs looked to be in for about the first 5 minutes and then got away from them very quickly. And this was, I don't know, a tale of two teams. This team did not look anywhere near the team that we saw play against a ranked Baylor team the week before. And I don't know if it's just something in the water in the Big 12. I don't know what's going on, but there's been all sorts of crazy happenings going on this week. And, of course, we can talk about Kansas's big – I don't know. You can't call it an upset, but a big win over Texas and Oklahoma's loss to Baylor and a lot of other weird things that are going on. But as far as TCU goes, that was not a good football game. That was probably one of the worst football games I think I've seen in quite some time. So, Dubber, why don't you help us break this down?
Well, you know, first of all, I just think it got out of hand. I think it got – they started – when it started going south, they just couldn't stop it. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we made every little play. And every little play we made – we made the plays that kept us in the game that eventually won us the game against Baylor. You know, we missed, Johnson missed a one-handed catch, running down the sideline. You know, we overthrew the freshman wide receiver. He had, kind of running a post or a seam and just barely overthrew him. I mean, it touched his hands. I don't know if he could have laid out and caught it, but, all them things we did the week before to kind of get us sparked and going, we didn't do that this week. I mean, we missed the little things, and then all of a sudden it just kept snowballing. I mean, and I do believe now, this might be crazy because it is a crazy Big 12, but I think if there's one team that's going upwards and they're kind of peaking at the right time, after what I've seen watching all the teams, I think Oklahoma State's the best team at the conference. I mean, their defense, and really that's what they kept talking about. And you start think I didn't realize they were number one or number two in freaking, almost all the categories. And then, so you look at that and you look at, we did have but one scholarship running back. We moved the kid around and let somebody else have, take some things. We just weren't that good. I mean, and then when it started snowballing, I think, used to, Coach Patterson, when things start snowballing, people just, they just run the ball, let the clock run out. That's just not the way it is today. If you don't play the whole time, people keep throwing the ball. They keep doing this, keep doing that. Kids get in. And I guess that's the biggest difference. Kids get in today if they do substitute. And once they do, they don't shut down their offense like they used to. Now they just keep playing. And those kids are, they're out there. They're wanting to show what they can do. This is their time to do it. And so while that was happening, our guys were kind of licking their wounds. And every time you did that, it just got a little more out of hand, a little more out of hand. As bad as it was, I was disappointed. Don't get me wrong, but I've been disappointed over some other stuff more than that. I just think it's one of them games where they were a better team, and then it got out of hand.
Yeah. Well, that defensive line of Oklahoma State is no joke, and they didn't give the offense much time or much room to do anything as opposed to what we saw against Baylor. But, one of the bigger side of the ball, Shannon, defense just could not stop the Cowboys at all. And it did get out of hand, and they picked on a couple of guys in that backfield relentlessly all game long.
Guys, after watching that game, we are who we are at this point. It is what it is. We could have played like we played last week and scored 30 points. It wouldn't have been good enough.
I agree.
That team we played, I have them to win it all, the Big 12 championship. I've had for about 3 weeks now because I've seen them play. They're good.
Yep.
I just wish we would have showed more. I just wish we would have played like we did last week with the energy. But that was kind of like a trap game for everybody, given the circumstances. That was with the firing. We're at home. It's Baylor. We don't have any real beef with Oklahoma State. I mean, let's really be honest about it. So, there was just like a lackadaisical type of performance. The effort was not there. The pride wasn't there. The getting after and fighting like a dog wasn't, like, nothing was there, and I was watching the game with a bunch of frogs, and with all the sports going on Saturday, we didn't even really finish the game. We go back and forth because we couldn't score. And I was in there, I said, man, this game's going to be about 73-7. I didn't think we scored again, but I guess we got 17 points. And once we turned it back, it was 63-17, I think it was. But, it's just disappointing because you at least want to see guys fighting. And don't get me wrong. There are a few, the quarterback's fighting his butt off. They didn't help him out missing all the passes. Tomlinson on the side of the ball, he fights to the end. That guy, he fights his butt off. And then you have guys who quit, and I won't call them out, that want to fight and go to Twitter and all the stuff they do nowadays. And that's just not what you need. And at this point, I'll be honest with you, and I know we're going to talk about it here shortly. At this point, whoever the head coach is, he's going to need to come in and interview players and look at what they've done and start chopping some heads. I believe it. That's, since we're going to treat it like a business, there's some guys on that sideline that don't need to be there. And like I said, I'm gonna let – if you guys see Twitter, you see the game, you see what's going on. So I'm not going to call them out. They're still – they're kids. But I just think, at some point we're here to praise the guys when they need to be praised, and we're here to talk the truth when we play like crap. When you want to go to social media, and I'm just not going to be that guy, but you, once you go to social media, you leave yourself open for people to criticize you, even the media. I'm just not going to do it. So, but it's disheartening. And I wish we'd play a lot better. Like I said, in my opinion, they could have played the best ball they played all year and scored 35 points, and it still wouldn't have been good enough. They might have put 74 up on us. I think they kind of let off the gas a little bit just because it was already out of control, and they're rotating and doing what they're doing. So it could have really got ugly. But I know there's some respect there amongst coaches, and they still play, but you can also tell when he come off the gas too.
Well, you know, and you know what? You can't just give that – I mean, like Shannon said, I mean, we got 17 points, but they were – about 10 of them were gibbies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can say defense let down, but crap, when you put them on the field as much as they were on the field, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, it was just ugly. Hey, at least everybody shared in this loss. It was ugly all the way around.
Everybody.
And I don't mean it. I don't mean that bad, because, you know, I've been there. We've had an ugly game. I mean, and so when I say that, I mean, I know Shannon's had a season where, you know, not everything went right. So we understand that part of it. And we also understand people not playing to their potential, people not playing all the way through. And that was disheartening to me when I played. And I know it's still disheartening today when we see it, because you look at a guy and you know, that guy right there, he ought to be a dog. I mean, he ought to be one of the guys that get it. And when he does, and to me, that's probably the most disheartening thing of this whole season to me is watching that. I can understand X and O's to a point. I can understand young. I can understand injuries. I can understand a lot of things. But just having not playing hard to the end. And, you know, I mean, with Shannon, I don't even have to go to Twitter. I can tell you on the field. You can watch who's pursuing after their running breaks free for a five, you know, a 2 yard gain, should have been a 2 yard gain, turns into a 10 yard gain. And you watch three people that watch the guy run right by them, and they're not hustling. They're not getting after it. Or on the offensive side of the ball, a guy locks up and blocks two steps and lets go, and all of a sudden he thinks it's over, and all of a sudden his guy's the one that made the tackle. And I'm not saying everybody did it, but you know what? You get a few people doing it, you're going to get dogged. That's probably the biggest thing for me right now is I know what Shannon's talking about interviewing all the players, because, you know, that's the whole deal. If you got – it doesn't matter – how talented you are, doesn't matter if you got the right X and O's. If you ain't going to give the effort, then you're not going to win the game, period. You're never going to win the game. Now, I tell you, you might screw up your X and O's to give effort, and you got a chance to win some games still.
Yep.
You turn it around, you don't have a chance.
Well,
and that's where we were Saturday. Right. But I am of agreement with Shannon. We could have played our best game, Oklahoma State, to me, is the best team in the conference. And they're really – hey, they've always been known for offense, but their defense was good. I mean, really good. So, they're good on both sides of the ball. They got a confidence. They got a swagger about them right now. And it wouldn't have mattered. And maybe that's why, as frustrating as it was, I've been frustrated with other games, because we could have played them 10 times. They're going to probably beat us 10 times. We might have beat them once, but – man, right now they're just a better team than us.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, Shannon mentioned this, you know, several weeks ago when we were talking about lack of effort, and you were talking about loafing, and that was effort, I mean, that game against Baylor versus what we saw on Saturday, that was a night and day difference when it came to lack of effort, because what we saw against Baylor, those guys were flying around the field, they were ball hawking, they were gang tackling, they were not quitting, you know, until the whistle blew. And then even sometimes they kept playing through the whistle, which is exactly what, Dubber, you'd been talking about. You wanted to see a lot of those guys do all season long. And then we turn around and we go to Oklahoma, and somehow we cross the state line, and those guys just, they left their effort back in Fort Worth. And it was, it got ugly really, really fast. I agree with you guys, hands down. Oklahoma State is the best team in the conference, but I would have hoped to have seen this game be a lot closer than it was. And I think that that effort was a big part of it. I think we kind of slipped back into what was happening before Gary left. And I think that was that's a big issue. That's a mental issue. And I agree with you, Shannon. Those guys need to be interviewed. They need to be, you know, somebody needs to come to them and go, why are you here? Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what happened. I mean, I think it would have been a better game if we'd have caught a pass or two. You know, I mean, the first right off the bat, we got a turnover.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, got a turnover. They move the ball. Here we go. And then when we didn't score there, I mean, it was like it just kept, you know, just kept going backwards. After that, every series just got a little worse, a little worse. And after about three or four series, we tapped out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, with all that's going on, we got inflated, man, or deflated. And it was just over, man. It was over quick. And we didn't even play. I mean, we didn't even play a good quarter, half a quarter worth of good ball. Wow. I mean, think about that. We didn't play. I mean, it was terrible all the way around. And you knew what type of game was going to be halfway through the first quarter. You just knew it. You felt it. You knew it. And again, great team. Give all the, you got to respect your opponent, but there's a difference respecting them and then not coming to play. There's a big difference. And I agree with you, Dub. These guys didn't come to play. And I saw no energy. We two different teams, right? Two different totally teams. And I'm afraid, you know, I don't care who we play in, Kansas or whatever, we can't afford to show up that way, or they will drag us at our home field next week. It's just, you know, it's just what it is. If you don't show up in the Big 12, because anything can happen, and the way this conference is set up, you know, it's every weekend you got to bring your A game, because if you don't, I don't care if you're 1-8, they're going to come up and beat your butt, you know, which we saw that happen over the weekend with Texas and Kansas. So, you know, it is what it is. It's disappointing to be a player and you have to watch that kind of stuff, because at this point it's like, you know, we've been on our high horse for so long in the sea. It's like you're wearing this bubble and you got everybody around us just poking, you know, speaking negative. We you know, now we're at the bottom, and, you know, just, it's disheartening. You spend your hard earned money as a fan and you want to go watch a game and look like I need to start spreading my money out with basketball and some of these other sports, because they're having our backs right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Usually we're known as a football school, and all our other sports is kind of carrying the weight right now, if you will, when it comes to sports. So, listen, I'm already past it. I'm looking forward to the new head coach and what he brings to the table, whoever that may be. And I'm looking forward to the offseason to see who I'm going to show my face around this year, just because I want to be more proud. I want to see the leaders. I want to see what we got, because you don't see it on Saturday. So really, to me, there's no leadership. Some people lead on the field, but the vocal side of it, on the sideline presence, it's not there. And if you don't think those are key components of the game on Saturday, you don't know nothing about the sport. And that's just the bottom line. And so we're missing all that. We're missing a lot of stuff, guys. And we were fooled. We were fooled this year, thinking that we had all the pieces to the puzzle. Brother, we don't even have – we're still scattered out with maybe two pieces of the puzzle together.
You know, we've been a couple of years now, two or three years, where we just hadn't had the two or three vocal leaders that we've had in the past. And you know, I think, you know, all of a sudden you got to watch out, because when it goes away, all of a sudden nobody thinks about it going away. And then all of a sudden, then you don't have anybody. You know, you got people like, hey, and let me just say this. And, you know, Tomlinson, let's just take him. And I'm not saying it because, you know, LT's nephew. The kid plays hard, ever played. You know what I like about it? He gets burnt. So, I mean, he's out there on the island. He gets burnt. I watch him jump back up. He doesn't look at the guy. He doesn't look like he deflated. He doesn't look like he's this, he's that. He just jumps up. When he gets beat, he jumps up. He gets back at his position, wherever he is. He hustles back wherever he's supposed to go, and you never see that. I mean, off of him. Hey, there's other kids on that. You got a hand. So I think when me and Shannon are talking about, there's a group that do the right thing on the field.
Sure.
There's just, you know, it only takes three or four out of 11. And then that makes everything be bad. I mean, that makes everything go south. Now, it could be more, it could be less. But I'm just saying, it doesn't take but a few, and then it really goes fast south. But the problem is, Thompson, he's a great field player. You know, I mean, but we have no, hey, even Max. I mean, I don't mean to meet Max. Max, you know what you're going to get on the field. I mean, you love the guy. His heart, grit, everything you want. But we don't have any line you up vocal leaders right now.
Right.
You got to have one or two of them. You just got to have them wherever they come from. You got to have that guy that looks at somebody and says, hey, dude, you're dogging it. You ain't playing. Come on now. Or, hey, the vocal leader that, you know, that's there when you do make a great play, you know, and somebody that the team looks at and can trust to be that leader.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I agree with Shannon. I don't think we have that guy. We hadn't had that guy for a couple of years.
No, we haven't.
I agree. And,
you know, it's obviously leadership starts from the top, and Shannon already kind of touched on this. The head coaching search, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. It is all over the map as of this morning of recording this one. It looked like, you know, Napier, Dykes, and Sanders were the top three guys. Hearing rumors about Sanders right now, and I don't necessarily want to go into that unless one of you guys want to pick up on that. But, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, when we talked about this before, I didn't really have much thought about Sanders. I was thinking, you know, he's a guy I think is a high-risk, high-reward kind of a guy, right? I would really love to see what sort of staff he would put together to make me feel real comfortable with it. But knowing what the players are looking for, hearing him talk and taking away some of the biases that I had, because I think my perception was kind of, I won't say tainted, but tinted, when it came to his past antics, right? In the past. And when I say past, you know, I'm going all the way back to when he was a Cowboy, right? So when you take all that away and you see what he's done at Jackson State and you see what kind of guy he has become over the last several years, and I'm really hoping that he gets an honest shot at this. I really do. And I'm not so sure I'm sold on Sonny Dykes like I was, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But what do you all think about this search so far?
So, you know, listen, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of stuff going on, which obviously, you know, is to be understood. But, you know, and I've gotten calls about Deion. I know Deion just through LT, still, you know, not to name drop, but just because of our circle, I know him as a person. Mind you, I never liked, I like Deion as a person, but I didn't like Deion, you know, for a while because he went on TV and talked about LT when LT was with the Patriots, you know, AFC Championship game, and he was hurt. And he, you know, he said some things he shouldn't have said on air when he's been hurt before. And so that's, I didn't like him. Okay. Just like I didn't like Terrell Owens. And I became to like him as I got to know him as a person. So it just shows you can't juggle book by cover. I heard that a lot, Sean, about his past. The problem is, it's not even a problem, I shouldn't say, but that's what we can't do, because a lot of these other guys, everybody's looking at Deion and then they judge him because what team he played for, they didn't like him then, whatever the case may be. But that doesn't have anything of what he could do for our university. Mm-hmm. You know, what he could do for our university, and this is, you know, my vote would be for him, because Gary created, and I'm going to be a little long with it, but I'll try to get to the point. As far as Gary, you know, we always said he fell on his own sword. He created this national freaking powerhouse, and the ceiling, he hit the ceiling for the last three years, whatever it's been. He couldn't get past that hump. And why not do something different at this day and age where all, if you go across the board and speak to kids from high school to the games that he coached in San Antonio, whatever the bowl game is, all the five stars go to and all that stuff, they love him. And to me, he can get those players that a lot of coaches, when I mean a lot of coaches cannot get. If Deion, and I say that, I'll say it now, because again, we've been having plenty of talks with a lot of guys, even with Coach Patterson. If you're going into, and I've had this conversation with Sinkfield just because of, you know, and again, I've mentioned on the show, sometimes when you walk into somebody's house that's in an area that they're not used to of Coach Patterson going to sitting at the table, and Deion Sanders walk and said that if you they can go back to back and say the same things. And some of those areas that you got to recruit these athletes, they're just going to feel comfortable with Deion. It's just what it is. That's just what it is. And I think, and I'm just talking personalities, because I know Gary. You guys know Gary. His personality is not like Deion's. And Deion's going to say and do whatever he kind of say within truth to get that kid to make him understand, hey, even with your baggage, we all have baggage. When you get to me, we're going to play the game of football the way it's supposed to be played. You're going to go to school. You're going to get your grades. You're going to do it. Deion, that's what he's doing right now where he's at. And if you can't tell me at that HBCU, and I don't mean to knock on any school or whatever the case may be. I mean, obviously, I think Division I was the route for me. But some of those kids, a lot of those kids are kids that needed a Deion, that they look at him as saving their life because they're always doing – there's a lot of stupidity in a lot of those locker rooms because – bit back home, if you will. And so my point is this. I just feel like if we want to go to the next level, you talk about NIL, done. You talk about the, you know, the prestigious part about TCU jersey and all that stuff, done. You talking about just coaching and packing out a stadium, selling tickets, done. I mean, I got guys hitting me now that are money guys at TCU. And they're lobbying just like we're lobbying. I've heard a lot of people lobbying for Deion because the change that he can bring to our university, I'm for it. And listen, I have my concerns too. But the flamboyant Deion, guys, in all reality, he did all that just to make a lot of money. Deion's a good marketer for himself. He's a great marketer for himself. And so a lot of that was that. But you talk about a guy who don't drink, who don't smoke, never got DWIs, never got drug, all that stuff. A lot of that comes with a lot of that. That was never Deion. It was all about the flash and the flamboyance. We get it. And that's not my style. Trust me, it's just not my style. But if he can be that style and get the job done, so be it. If we're going to, you know, versus, I'm sorry, I just don't want Sonny Dykes because I feel like we're his Super Bowl for the last 2 years. He's gotten to school. Yes, he's turned SMU around, but to what level? To what level? And I had this argument with some people, some players over the weekend. To what level? Like, he beats us, he goes off, he loses every year. He doesn't do anything special. He doesn't do anything special to where that he needs to be the guy at TCU to take us to what level? Because if we're just talking about turning TCU around turning SMU around and they're and rah rah rah, well that okay, that's he could have done that anywhere. But we're talking about we're a national school. SMU's not a national school. And they won't be even with him over there. You give him 3 more years, they're not going to win. They're not going to go to a freaking playoff. It's just not going to happen. They still are who they are. I don't care what nobody says. So with that being said, if you're going to give a guy a shot to get to the next level, why fire Gary to bring in Sonny Dykes? Don't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. But bring in somebody else, and Deion or whoever else, but not Sonny Dykes just because of how he played us and he's kind of quote-unquote turns TCU around. But that's my take on it. I know there's four more. There's some other guys on that ballot. But at this point, I'm kind of just sitting back like everybody else, figuring out who's going to be that guy. Because I tell you what, if he doesn't get the job done in the next 2-3 years, he's going to be gone anyway. Because I think that's what we are as a university. You don't get the job done pretty soon, you're out. So anyway, that's my 2 cents on the whole coaching situation. But I just think it'd be fair to give Deion a fair shot. Because of what, and again, this is my last point. When Franchione got fired or left, he didn't fire for Alabama. Again, and I've said this before, we petitioned to have Gary. We went to the AD and said, Gary's our guy. He's a great coach. Look at what the defense is doing. And, we're, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, the players did that. I think you got to listen to your players as well. They're speaking out who they want. I think Jeremiah's got to go and have a meeting with the team and get their input. Because at the end of the day, Gary worked out for us 22 years later.
Yep. And I got a little bit different version. I mean, I'm not a Dykes guy. I mean, at first I think I was, but now just looking at everything, really, the two people I was really looking at, and nothing against Deion, but I like Napier. I mean, as crazy as that is, I think he's a solid deal. But I tell you what, you know, it's potluck. You know, I look at the Clemson offensive coordinator. I mean, I wish he was still to run it. You know what? I mean, he's got skins on the wall. He's been to 2 national championships. He understands what it takes to get there. Yep. And I understand he doesn't have head coaching experience, but, you know, I mean, I would have liked to, you know, and I heard that was the biggest knock on him. But, you know, just think about 20 years ago, that was the biggest knock on Gary. I know it was for me. I was like, I can't believe they just hired the defense coordinator. You know, and he, you know, he's got the personality. I don't mean it bad, but, you know, I mean, he's not the – most no. outgoing, you know, that's
he just, don't got the, he didn't, he never had the personality.
No, and so you sit there, you really don't know. You don't know about Dion, you don't know about Napier. I think we know a little bit more. I'm kind of with Shannon. You know, at first I was, you know, Sonny Dykes be great, blah blah blah. But then I get thinking about it is, man, you know, I mean, I'll tell you the difference between him and Patterson. I mean, you look at us. 15 years ago, we were SMU. I mean, really, we're a private school. We're not in the Big 12. We're not into this, that. What Gary did was he won all his games, or he went 12-1 or 11-1 or 10-2, and that was every year. And he won the conference every year, you know. And then he jumped up there and went undefeated. I mean, that's the difference. I see where Shannon's going there because I kind of I feel like I got worried about the same thing. Can he win the big game? Can he get over the, you know, is he going to be the guy that can get us to the next level? Well, this time he'd be my third choice. I mean, I'll just tell you that right now. I mean, Napier would be my first. And you know what? I'm not Shannon probably knows more about than I do. I mean, I just hear. So, you know, I've heard so much stuff, I don't even know what to think, you know. But I did hear that, you know, I've heard, this could be totally rumor, but I heard it's kind of narrowed down to Napier, Dykes, and Dion. And, you know, hey, I guess either one of them's not going to be terrible. I mean, I got my best. Shannon's got his guy. I think that, you know, I mean, whatever happens is going to happen. I mean, they really ain't going to call me up and ask me anyway. So
and I mean, does Napier have any Texas ties, y'all know? Does Napier have any Texas?
I'm not sure. I don't think he's got as many as, you know, Dykes has. Obviously.
Well, I don't think he
has as many as. But Louisiana, though, is huge right now in recruiting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And again.
I think he's done a good job with – I think he's done a good job with Texas kids, though, too.
Oh he has, no I doubt. But he doesn't have that natural kind of inroad is what I'm saying. But here's the thing, though. And here's kind of where I'm at with this head coaching thing. And I was talking to a fellow Frog today over lunch about this. I don't want a coach that micromanages things. I don't want to bring in a coach because – he has Texas ties to recruiting, because we can get guys on staff who have Texas ties to recruiting who could do a better job of recruiting.
Sure.
Dion solves a lot of the problems that we've had up to this point. And then he can fill in the gaps with the staff, right? Dykes, I don't like what I'm seeing out of him when you really kind of peel back the veneer at what he's done at SMU. I'm with you, Shannon, I don't think he's the right guy for the job. And I think he plays us well because he plays Gary Patterson well. And I think that's a distinction that we need to understand. I like Napier, though. I mean, if it's not going to be Dion, I'd rather it be Napier. But here's my biggest issue. We are trusting Donati to make this decision. I have zero faith that he is going to do what is right. And Shannon, I agree with you. He should talk to the players about this, but I don't think he will. I don't think he has. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think he's going to listen to his good old boys club, and that's going to be that. And unfortunately, when it comes to that, I think that TCU fans had better make him and put him on notice that this hire is an albatross around your neck as well, bud. Because if you don't get this right, if you don't get these, if you don't make these players happy with this, and yes, it's not just about what the players want. If you don't do your due diligence, whatever happens, happens to you too. Because you're next on the chopping block, basically.
Yep. I agree with that. I said that, I think maybe a couple shows ago, whenever it was, about, hey, this pick is going to make or break him as well. But again, to that point, which is a great point, you know, I've also heard, and it's hard to, you know, I wish, it's hard not really dropping names on here because I don't want to out people, but you know, you do have somebody, some people in there with big money that I know, oil and gas money, that's, you know, lobbying for Sonny Dykes about because they play with their, his daddy, or they used to coach him, or they work together, blah, blah. I hear these stories and I hear from legit sources, and it just sucks because the good old boy system, they're going to pull their strings. And I know how this, the political side of it kind of sucks, because Jeremiah's going to have to, you know, I just want to man up, listen to everybody, and sit down with his staff at the end of the day and make the right decision based off whatever, and whoever that may be.
Yep.
But they come to the conclusion that this guy is the right coach that's going to take us to the next level. And he does that based off his true research, and he has people researching with him. He don't sit, he hears people out. He's interviewing people one-on-one. He's walked through some doors by himself. So I know he's doing that, because I've talked to people he's talked to. And so it's just, I just hope that doesn't play a role in. I hope he hears them out, but leave that over there and doesn't have any, I'm not going to donate if you do this kind of talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that'll happen, but whatever could be said that would make him choose this guy when they all say it should be this guy, that would be a burn. That would kind of suck. And I think that would stick out like a sore thumb. And I think we would see why he got hired. But to your point, I hope Donati just makes the right decision based off his research and the board that he has around him, and Sinkfield and the board. And they made it, because there's a select few, and it's a good group of guys, I believe. So I hope they just do the right thing for the school and the university, and also the, you know, football team.
Well, unfortunately, I really believe it's like a horse race. It's like a 10-gate horse race. But Sonny, they let him start about 20 yards ahead of everybody. I mean, from the start. And now there's only two that really caught him, that has caught him. And I think because, hey, I'll be the first to say it. I mean, you know, at first I was like, hey, I'd love to have Sonny Dykes. I mean, and if we get him, I'm going to open arm it. I mean, don't get me wrong, because I want TCU to win. I'm not so vain that whoever the next coach is, I want him to do good. Whether it's Dion, whether it's Napier, whether it's Sonny, whether it's somebody else that we don't even haven't heard of, you know, I mean, I want to win. I mean, I want TCU to be good. So, yeah. You know, whoever walks the door, they're going to get my support, you know, period. And, you know, and so my deal is there is, I just think Dykes was given a lead, and I don't know if anybody's going to catch him. Now, I think two have gotten really close, but you know how it is in your mind when you get it in your mind and all of a sudden that guy's, you know, it's just, if enough people are going to allow one of the other ones of the dark horses to kind of catch him. And I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. And you know what? I really don't, because I've heard all three. You know, it just depends on who you listen to that day or that week. You know, I've heard Dion got the job. I've heard people text me everywhere, Dion's going to get the job, Dion's going to get the job. And then I'm like, dude, I don't know. Dion came out of the blue all of a sudden and went to the top. Then all of a sudden I heard, well, now Napier's back in on it. Napier's the real guy they wanted. I heard that this morning. So, you know, and then I've heard, no, Sonny's really good, you know. Crap, I don't know. I just
It's wide open, WC, but, you know, at the end of the day, I agree with you. You know, my gut feeling tells me, if you had to ask me today who would get the job, unless somebody we don't know about, because listen, I'm going down the list too, like everybody else. Well, he's got a contract, or this is going to happen, or nope, this guy, Texas, whatever. So that list, kind of that top 10 list, is down to like four people.
Yeah.
And so unless somebody pops out of those four people, my gut feeling, I'll go on record. I want Dion. I'll go on record and say, yeah, I want Dion, because I just know what he could bring to the game with recruiting, which is what we need, and the NIL is what we need, and he's good with social media and all that stuff. I'm certain that he could bring in the right group of guys, just like he did where he's at, to coach the game. But with that being said, if you had to ask me today who I feel they're going to choose, it's going to be Sonny. Like you said, he's got to jump on them. He's not a bad coach, guys. He brings something to the table. But again, I've heard, you know, again, from people on that side of town, you know, that, you know, he's got some skeletons in his closet too when it comes to certain things, and not all his players like him. And I'm hearing some of, now, you know, those things are starting to come out, And, you know, and so that doesn't mean I won't get behind him. And I'm with you on this, WC. Whoever comes in, I'm a frog and I'm a supporter. Just like when Gary left, we all showed up because it's all about the players. That's at the end of the day, nobody's above the team, the purple. Yep. And so whoever it is, we have no choice to get behind him and rally behind him and see what's going to happen. But I tell you this, to Sean's point, Jeremiah's on the hot seat with this one. He get it wrong, and we go back for the next 2 years because I know you got to give him time. And in this day and age, they don't have more than 3 years to get it together. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. People just not going to stand for it, and you're just going to be out of there.
We can't grow them up.
The scary part is, too, I tell you what, the scary part too is, you know, Shannon, me and you are the same way in the sense that, hey, if a new coach came in, you had your new coach.
Right.
If you tried to transfer out, you were having to sit a year.
Yep.
If you got released, you know, and you couldn't go into your own conference. So that was a done deal. Today, what's crazy about today is, you know, whoever the coach is, I don't know, whoever it is, you know, you get three or four kids don't like that guy, boom, they're in the portal. That's what's crazy today. There's no hey, look at Dixon in basketball. Not that I'm trying to do so, but I've already seen one game. I got season tickets, and you know, Shannon, you want to come? Any of y'all want to come? I always got an extra one. I sit by myself most times. Jennifer doesn't come, so I go by myself. But that team from now to last year, I mean, there's three or four kids. There's eight or nine new. I mean, totally new players. I mean, the starting five, I mean, besides one guy, maybe two, three of the guys are brand new. One guy coming off the bench is there. One guy was a freshman. Then the rest of them are, I mean, he's like five deep. I mean, half of them are just totally new players. I mean, at least that many. I mean, it's amazing how fast that roster turned over from 1 year. I mean, 1 year because of the portal and the stuff like that. And that's what's so crazy about today's times it's different for me. Because me and Shannon look at it a certain way. Hey, coaching, you know, blah, 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 we're here. Well, you're not really.
Yeah.
I mean, a kid could just, boom, he's out. He's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. I can't wrap my brain around it.
That whole not for long stuff is in college too, right? NFL's not for long. That's college now too. Now
it is. Yep. It's crazy.
Well, and if Donati does not pick the right guy. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. I end on this. All I do is I hope they get it right too. I don't know who it's going to be. I got to trust they got a committee. They're going to do their due diligence. But you're right. The days of having a coach for 20 years, it's over anyway.
It's over.
I mean, you know, I mean, we hope we get a good solid coach 4 or 5 years, 6 years, and then things change. I mean, you know, but you're right. I mean, now people start getting, you know, TCU's had it kind of easy. I mean, because, I mean, Del Cotti did, and then Jeremiah at first, because you had stable coaches everywhere. Well, now, in less than a year, you just two big changes. Baseball and football are changing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you better hope to get it right, both of them. You know, or people are going to start looking, because right now, from here on out, they're all on Jeremiah's watch now. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to try to give him the – I know a lot of people don't like him, but, it's the same thing. I hope he does a good job, because if he does a good job, that means it's going to be good for us.
Yeah.
If he does a bad job, then it's bad for us. And so I want him to do a good job. I want him to pick the right guy. I want him to, you know, I want him to, I hope he does. I mean, I hope he gets it right the first time. I mean, you know, but whoever it is, whoever they bring in, I'm here to support him.
Well, I certainly.
And I hope everybody else too.
Well, I certainly am rooting for him to get it right. Okay. And If anything, for nothing else than just the student players and the school in total, I'd love for him to get it right. I'm rooting for him to get it right. I just don't have the confidence in him to be able to get it right. And I hope he proves me wrong. Absolutely hope he does. Because at the end of the day, like Shannon said, man, I'm a frog. I'm going to support whoever he brings in here. And but I just really hope that some of the things that I've been hearing behind the scenes is either hyperbole or wildly inaccurate. And that's all I'll say, because I'm with Shannon. I'm not going to name drop anything, but it doesn't fill me with confidence at the moment where we are right now in this horse race that WC alluded to. But we'll see. We'll see who crosses that finish line, because it sounds like it's coming up here pretty quick. So we'll see who's announced as new head coach here shortly.
It needs to.
Yeah, I'm thinking it may happen sometime this weekend. So we'll see how that goes.
But, I mean, it just needs to, because, you know, the next guy needs to get in, start talking to players, start looking at this next signing date. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, try to salvage what we can right now. If you don't get somebody in here, you're not going to be able to do that. I mean,
yeah.
Or it's going to make it really hard. Well, you're not going to be able to salvage a signing date if you don't get somebody else in here. But you don't salvage the kids you got or whatever, blah, 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 you know. Because, hey, at the end of the day, not everybody's for Deion, not everybody's for Napier, not everybody's for Sonny. You know, there might be a preference in the locker room, and Shannon would know more than I do. But not everybody's going to be happy about everything. So whoever the coach is, they're going to need to get in here and talk to kids and set them down and give them their story and see if the kid buys into their story.
Right.
And that's what you hope happens. You hope whoever they bring in, they buy into the story, and we keep on going.
Yeah, and I think they have about really until the end of this weekend, because if they don't have a head coach planned out by the end of this weekend, they're going to start losing current players
to by that Thanksgiving, especially when players go home for Thanksgiving. And I would hope they would have somebody named before Thanksgiving.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I heard the first of December, the second and third, but it's got to be before December. If you're gonna tell us in the media, the press, that you did it at the time you did it because you want to give the head coach time to get in for December's recruiting, then that needs to be – somebody's got to be in here this month. I mean, this month, this like next week. You know what I mean? Because the following week you got 3 days and everybody's off on vacation, and you got 2 days, you know, when we get back, and December's here. So we should hope, and I hope they just get it done next week. They can sell the locker room down so those guys can be at peace before they go home. Give whoever the guy's going to be a chance, because they've heard him from the horse's mouth. They feel good about it or not, but at least they know something. But you start letting kids go home and talk to friends, talk to parents, and start talking to folk and get back here, this is going to make for an uproar.
Yeah, it's gonna be a mess. We might win the last 2 games to be in a bowl game.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well,
you never know.
In order to win the last 2 games, we do have to get past this weekend's opponent at home, which is
Let's
Kansas. And Kansas coming off of their big victory against Texas, and how sweet. If anything else, just that game alone made up for this weekend.
Sure. Yeah. Sure it did.
I mean, sure Kansas did. Beat Texas was fantastic. And seeing the Longhorns just melt down was just something else. Anyway, but Kansas is not a gimme. I mean, we've seen how this team plays. Not just Kansas, but us. From 1 week to the next, I mean, if this TCU team comes in and loafs around against Kansas, Kansas is riding a little high coming off of that win. And we know it's just Texas. I mean, Texas and TCU have the same record at this point. How funny is that? But Kansas is not a gimme. And they're going to come in here and they're going to play as tough, because they want to kind of continue on. And you know how it is, winning is infectious. They want to feel that again. And, you know, they want to go on the road and they want to beat us. So let's talk about this real quick. What do you guys think? We're getting a little long, so we'll jump into predictions here. So, Shannon, give us your prediction for Saturday.
Well, this is what I'm hoping. Again, it's like we play in a trap game league, seems like. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping the tides change like they did with us. We play up for Baylor. We play at home. We get excited. We beat the blocks off those guys, and then we think we've done something. We go to Oklahoma and get the snot kicked out of us. Well, I'm hoping they come in on their high horse, beating Texas. That was their big game. We're down. We don't have much to play for, if you will. So I'm hoping they carry that same energy that we took to Oklahoma into our stadiums. We play with a little energy because we got our butts kicked, and we go ahead and finish them off and win our last home game of the season. And you know, I'm going to predict 21-27 TCU. I believe, you know, I don't know how many points was put up, but I'm hoping more than that. But I'm going to say it's a close game. I say we win it at home, but I'm going to just give you that right now. That's about all I can give you.
All right. 27-21, Dubber.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give one more touchdown more. I'm going to give 35-21 TCU. But I agree with everything Shannon just said. But the thing we got to do is we got to come out and play hard at the start and not give them, just like Oklahoma State did, don't give them a chance where they really feel like they have a chance, me in the game. Yeah. And then, you know, go from there. Because I think this coach has done a good job. And, you know, it's funny. This is the third, fourth straight quarterback, this kid. All of a sudden, you give a kid a shot that you ain't thinking, 17 years old, too young, too this, too that, except for a couple things. Somebody forgot to tell him. He's an athlete. He's a good, you know, he's a good football player. You can tell he's an athlete. And all of a sudden, these kids rally around him. Man, that makes a big difference. I mean, you know, so saying that, I think it's going to be 35-21. That's what I'm hoping. But we better come out and be ready to play because this is a league that anybody can win any weekend.
Yep.
I agree. I think it's going to be 38-24 TCU on this one. I think Morris isn't going to miss on some of those passes like he did against Oklahoma State. I think the defense against, you know, Oklahoma State's defense is probably going to be the best we'll see all season long, obviously. And I think that we were able to move the ball. We just weren't able to execute on a lot of big plays. And I think we could have easily scored 30, 35 points against Oklahoma State had we did execute. And I think Kansas is nowhere near in the same universe of a defensive team as Oklahoma State is, obviously. But they can get up and they can play, and it really just depends on that effort. So I'm going to say 38-24. I think the defensive side of the ball for TCU is going to be another one of those question marks. I think I liked what I saw the Jayhawk quarterback. I mean, he was playing with some fire against Texas, and that whole team is pumped up. But I'm optimistic that Shannon's right. They were on their high horse. They're coming in here, and they'll have a little bit of a letdown. But it's kind of funny to hear that about Kansas, but of the way this season has gone, I mean, yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. So we'll see how
it goes. Hey, I'm happy for Kansas. I mean, so I'm happy for them. I mean,
I'm happy for Texas.
You know, you can't be anything. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered who the opponent was, really, just so it wasn't us. But, you know, Texas threw a little extra icing on the cake, but, you know, when's the last time they won a home game? I mean, away game? It was a long time. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm just happy that, you know, and this coach is doing a good job. He's done a really good job with them.
Yeah, he.
After their Les Miles debacle.
Yeah, well, I mean, tell you, he has one of those really kind of uphill battles coaching at Kansas, but yeah. He's a really good guy, and I think his team has really responded to him. And I think with a win like this, who knows? I mean, you know, he might be able to get some additional recruits and get things going for next season. But I'm hoping that when they look back, it's that Texas game that they just circle and it's kind of like, well, you know, next time we'll get TCU or something along those lines. So we'll see how it goes after Saturday. But with that, I think we have come to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everybody out there who has been listening to us. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs on all the major podcast networks on Apple and Google Play and Stitcher, as well as Spotify. And of course, you could go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all of about TCU news on the new Fan Zone with Sports Illustrated, as well as you can download our new mobile app or just join the forum for free. If you think our score predictions are wrong, go ahead and get on the forum and tell us what you thought the score prediction will be this weekend. In fact, join us in our coaching thread. I think we're up to a couple hundred pages at that point, and let us know what you think about Deion Sanders or Sonny Dykes or Napier, and let us know what you think. Who do you want to be the next TCU head coach? So with that, thanks for listening to us. It's the time we are at the end of the podcast where we get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Beat Kansas, please.
Yep. Watch, we'll be all wrong. They'll hire somebody out of left field none of us heard about.
A real dark horse.